Welcome back to the podcast. Coming up today, Elon Musk makes a radical change to your new car handover delivery day. The Kia EV9 GT is seen on the test track and the BYD Seal gets more aggressive discounts. Again, plus stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you what the Chinese are saying about the latest solid-state battery technology. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. EV News Daily is your trusted source of EV information. For Tuesday, 26th of March, I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We go live at 5 p.m. UK. That's normally midday Eastern, but time difference, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the moment. For Patreon supporters, though, they get these shows first and ad-free. You can be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with some news of the Tesla supercharger network expanding. These are publicly available superchargers. Well, they have to be, and I'll tell you the reason why if you give me a moment. First of all, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited about this because this is another one of the innovative ways that chargers are getting into the ground, and this time it's with EU funding. Well, Tesla, we knew, was set to receive $160 million, about 130 plus million euros, I think, from the European Union. Maybe it was more, actually, from the applications made last year, enhancing their supercharger network in 22 different countries. Now, one of my followers has tagged me in a post from a French user on X. I'll pop this on screen for our YouTube and X viewers. We're live streaming it on X now, just simulcasting, but people seem to want it on there, so that's cool. And for my audio listeners, link in the show notes if you want to have a look yourself. This French user, Jean-Marie Ouvray, and apologies for my French, by the way, dear French viewers and listeners. Many years since I spoke your fine language in school and in lessons. He says, impressionnant upgrade de superchargeur. So that'd be impressive supercharger upgrade. Tesla Alboré Saint-Marie Lozère de V2 and V4. So V2s and V4s. The V2s look very old, by the way, obviously, but the V4s have nice fresh concrete on the ground and tarmac down there, so fresh in the ground. They are to the side of the vehicles, and it's nice to see a different layout. I thought that all V4s were going to be exactly the same, so the charger directly in front of you as you drive into the space, if that makes sense. But these ones off to the side where your wing mirror would be, if I can describe it that way, which is interesting. I've seen some different layouts now, which is nice. And what's interesting, if I just have a look at a different picture here, again, from my YouTube viewers, I'm not sure I can make this too much bigger on the screen, but there is a European logo on these. So it says co-funded by the European Union. And so some public money going in to put these into the ground. Now, that harks back to an Engadget article that I reported on podcast over 6 months ago about $160 million in EU funding to expand the supercharger network. This one was October? No, I stand corrected. This was a September 14th article, and that reminded me that a while ago I did dig out the PDF of the European Union funding, because I know how to party, right? Nothing I love more than reading PDFs of publicly funded charging stations. So I'll pop it on screen once again for our YouTube and X viewers. There's a bunch of stuff on here. There's NLX and Shell and all sorts and Total. But there's a couple of Tesla applications that got granted. There's one further down for Tesla Poland. But one of the biggies, which was Tesla Italy. Now, I saw this originally and thought, oh, it's interesting that the business unit in Italy were the ones that applied. Maybe they got assigned this project or whatever. So Tesla Italy applied and got 133.78 million euros. And what are they spending their 134 million euros on? Well, the application says this project aims at deploying 6,458 recharging points of 250 kilowatts. In 613 locations in 16 countries, and there were, this is a Polish application on this document which adds more to the 16 countries. One of those countries was FR, so that was France. So maybe what we are seeing here, and apologies again, I know it's very small on screen, possibly what we are seeing is the fruits of all of this many months later. I would like to sort of doing two and two, probably equals four, I imagine this is. And that is fantastic news. These, of course, would be open to everybody. I'm almost certain of that. Correct me if I'm wrong, because they're not just put in with pure Tesla money. That is great. If you see more of these, hey, tag me in a post. Send me a picture. I'd love to see more examples like this. Tesla is also introducing a complimentary one-month trial of its full self-driving software with the acquisition of new vehicles. A Teslarati post points out that Elon Musk announced the trial is not only for new customers, but now available for current Tesla owners as well, anyone that doesn't have FSD. The website's updated already. Had a check of it this morning, and it's S, X, and Y. I had a look on the US. I didn't look on the UK site. Doesn't really apply. The US site for Model 3 doesn't have it included, but all the others do. If you, it's not at the top. You have to scroll down when you are configuring your car, and it will say, hey, 1 month free trial of FSD. Elon Musk elaborating on a post on X saying that all US cars that are capable of FSD will be enabled for a 1 month trial this week. A reminder, the software currently costs $12,000. And some more Tesla news coming again out of social media. One that really kind of surprised me when I saw this. Tesla is now mandating that its North American staff, or at least I believe its US staff, conduct installations and demonstrations of FSD with every new vehicle sold in the United States. This news breaking as I came to put the podcast together today, so I'm still trying to get my head around it and think it through. This coming from Automotive News, CEO Elon Musk declared this practice a hard requirement, acknowledging it may lead to slower delivery times for customers, but employees being instructed by their boss to take customers on a test ride to showcase Tesla's full self-driving system in an internal memo. Elon Musk's directive emphasized the importance of supervised full self-driving, signaling a shift from previous ambitions for fully autonomous driving, which of course would take the cars from coast to coast and etc. You know, wherever you are, the car will come to you, but instead focusing on the word supervised full self-driving. Now, it is a very good ADAS or level 2 driver assistance system, but very much this is not the finished product, but you have to be in charge. It's good he was using that word. We can take a look at the memo on screen right now for our YouTube viewers. Now, of course, I'll read that out in a moment for our audio listeners. This came from an account on X, which has a history of having good inside knowledge, but also is quite a lighthearted account as well and can often have jokes and things like that. So we're going to assume it's true because I picked this story up not only from the EV press a few moments ago, but then when publications like Automotive News, which I trust their reporting, have gone with it, I'm inclined to think that this is real. This was an email supposedly sent at 2 a.m. in the morning, timestamp of exactly 2 a.m., from Elon Musk, who was obviously working in the early hours. And it says this, and I quote, "Going forward, it is mandatory in North America to install and activate FSD version 12.3.1 and take customers on a short test ride before handing over the car. Almost no one actually realizes how well supervised FSD actually works. I know this will slow down the delivery process, but it is nonetheless a hard requirement. Thanks, Elon." So, let's assume that that email is legit and hasn't been created in Photoshop, and this is clearly designed to expose more people to a technology which he is confident is working. And I don't have it myself, but examples I see online of when it works, it's exceptional. It is very, very good. It is not faultless, but when you see it performing well, it's very good. Now, when FSD doesn't work, sometimes that's because people put themselves into a situation where they shouldn't really be, or I would have taken over at an earlier time. You know, it can, you know, curb your wheels. It can drive you over curbs. It can almost hit cyclists. It can want to put you into a bush. It fails pretty hard. But again, sometimes that is the fault of these people who post videos online because they're seeking attention or whatever. So clearly, the upside of this is it will hopefully make people think twice about spending, you know, you can obviously $200 a month, but you can spend $12,000 on this enhancement on your vehicle. So this is relatively breaking news as of when I'm recording the podcast. Haven't fully thought this through yet. You know, potential downsides. It did strike me initially. I'll give you my personal opinion on this, not just reporting the news, but as an enthusiast of the EV industry, which is all I am, by the way, I'm no expert. Potential downsides, I think, would probably be the lost productivity. First thing that struck my mind was if you've ever taken delivery of a Tesla, everything is done online and in the app. And then at the very last moment, they have to get a human being involved to actually hand you over the key. But again, that could be, I'm sure if they could remove humans from the process, and maybe if you've done a completely humanless handover, I'd love to know. I know you, obviously, if you get your car put in for service and you get a loaner. I know, I did a loaner vehicle from Tesla in 2024. Then that's all done, obviously, on the app. You leave your car, you turn up, you walk out of your car, you get access to your loaner car and you drive away. You never speak to a human. As far as I know, all new car deliveries do have a human element involved. But now an employee has to come with you for your first drive. The thing that struck me first of all was this is a massive loss of productivity in a company which prides itself on efficiency. So they'll need more people. They'll need to employ more people, bring more people in out of other bits of the business, which they do at the end of quarter anyway for handover. But this seems like it's going to be lasting longer than just this week or next week as we record this at the end of a quarter. It just seems like a terrible waste of employees' time. It's a waste of customers' time as well, because you might never want this software. And now your car is being held hostage until you go for a drive with some random person from the company who sold it to you. Like, a lot of people want the Tesla experience because they don't like dealerships. Now, I bought a couple of cars from dealers recently and had great experiences. I don't mind dealers, but a lot of people don't want that. They don't want somebody sitting in their car with them, especially when you take your first drive. Because now I think about it, you know, when you take your first drive in a brand new car, maybe it's going to be with you, family member, your partner, or just you, getting to know your new car. That's kind of a special moment, right? New car, especially if it's a brand new car, is a nice moment. And now you've got to share that moment with some random person from the company that sold it to you. Also, think about the calibration of the cameras on new cars. Isn't it still, I'll need to check the Tesla docs on this, but last time I had a look, it's between 50 and 100 miles, I believe. Camera calibration. So that is, you know, if you are very generous and say it happens in 50 miles, then that is at least a 45 minute highway drive that you have to take for camera calibration. And it could take longer. I think, you know, people have spent 2-3 days, depending on how the vehicle is used, sometimes longer, if there's an issue as well. You got to go back and get that calibration sorted or a faulty camera. But either way, assuming all good things, that's at least a half hour or 45 minute drive in optimal conditions. If it's not raining and everything goes really well with a Tesla employee. Like, I don't want that. Like, now, the more I think, talk about it with you, and I talk my thoughts out loud for the first time, I really don't want that. I'm not having that. I hope that customers can sign a waiver, and so this person who you say, no, thank you, give me the keys, I'm going, is not going to get fired by Elon Musk. This is a hard requirement. We'll check that email again. This is a hard requirement. I guess if you take a flyer on this and decide not to, and he were to hear about it, that's you are fired that day if you work for Tesla. So if I work for Tesla, I'm not going to go against this because the boss is saying it's a hard requirement. This is your duty. You have to carry out your duty as an employee, so you have to do it. But also, yeah, no thanks. Maybe that's just me personally. Maybe you would like that. Maybe that's a real buzz for you. Let me know in the comments what you think, if this is a good or a bad idea. Actually, before we move on, one more thought I've had is that it also forces a product on you which you might not want. Like, you might think, I'm never going to spend that money. I'm not interested in that. I love driving the car. Also, for existing owners who've got experience of FSD, you should be able to sign a waiver to say, I know how to use it. Like, don't take me on an hour-long test drive, please. I bought the car. Let me go. And also, talking of existing drivers, now I think about it, there's a lot of people out there who don't have version 12. So they're going to be like, hang on, someone just bought their car and gets 12.3. I'm waiting 6 months for an upgrade. Why is it not over the airing to my car? And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, I think this could expose people who are new to the brand, in love with the brand. It's exciting. You bought a new car, right? When FSD is great, it's amazing. But imagine if it goes wrong. And, you know, you curb a wheel, you got to go back, and then you've got to go do another service center appointment to get. And is it their responsibility or yours? Because it's super, they're in the car with you. But what if it goes over a curb and it damages your wheel? Are they liable or you? Because by that time you've paid for the car, it's under your insurance. but they're making you. This is a terrible idea. The more I think about it, I might make this today's headline, the thumbnail for the YouTube show. Because as I talk about it with you, I'm sorry, it's been a long one. It's a terrible idea. I think this will be one of Mr. Musk's ideas that quietly goes away. I think somebody will have a quiet word, or he'll realize. Yeah, that was a 2 a.m. email that I sent, which I probably, you know, it's like the old, you know, we're going to get rid of all the in-person showrooms and we're getting rid of everybody 5 minutes later. No, we're not. We're not firing anybody. We're keeping all the things in person. Go and see cars in real life. That's going back a little bit. It's old school reference. But anyway, hopefully it'll be a good demonstration of the tech. But let me know what you think in the comments. Send me an email. hello@evnewsdaily.com. And yeah, I'll say I'm just reacting for the first time on this, but not one of his best ideas. Okay, moving on, and the Chinese company CATL, who work with Tesla already, are enhancing their collaboration with Tesla, developing faster charging battery technology, targeting to bolster their position in the market ahead of Tesla's more affordable so-called $25,000 Model 2, whatever you want to call it. Robin Zheng, the chairman of CATL, in an interview with BNN Bloomberg, which I've just picked up on online, this seems to be a first-person interview that they've done, so we can trust this source, says, and I quote, "There's always room for cost reduction depending on what the $25,000 car aim is," end quote. Well, CATL is contributing equipment already to Tesla's production facility in Nevada, which Tesla are aiming to boost their battery manufacturing capabilities in. The move is part of Tesla's strategy to augment their production in Nevada using equipment from CATL, because of regulation, CATL can't directly sell cars and batteries, etc., in the US, but they can navigate that with supplying equipment, IP, licensing, battery technology to American partners. The company is working with Ford, isn't it? And potentially many others as well over a similar kind of thing. They are training the staff of other car makers at their premises in China and Germany as well. We've heard about the Ford deal using a CATL licensing model in Michigan, where it'll be a Ford facility with Ford people, but there'll be CATL people, but they will be able to get around that. It's been criticized by some Republican lawmakers concerned about the insight that the Chinese government will get on American soil. The Chinese, meanwhile, very annoyed that the Americans will get access to their best Chinese technology. And so that deal seemed to make nobody happy. But either way, I'll pop a link in the show notes for this one. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm quite excited to see this Xiaomi car. Xiaomi as in the mobile phone company from China. The CEO has been talking about the pricing, which is the first sign that we get of some concrete announcements ahead of the March 28th reveal. And they say that this vehicle will be under 500,000 yuan, which is, it's always hard to do that that translation, that conversion, but it would be under $69,000, at least under $70,000. Now, the official price range and order commencement for the SU7, SU stands for Speed Ultra, by the way, is going to be later this week in 2 days' time. I think it'll be Thursday evening Chinese time, I believe. I'll get a final time on that so I can make sure that we're fully up to date. Talking about the SU7 revealed in December, big interest in this vehicle. And you can see why. Again, for our YouTube viewers, we'll put some pictures, some video on screen. And this looks like, a big Tesla Model 3 competitor. It's going to be more premium, obviously, given its price point. Will that make it more of a challenge? Will that make it more of a success? Because it'll be positioned much higher. Obviously, very high tech, because that's what Chinese buyers want. Big integration into their digital lives, in other parts of their life. Any, obviously, Xiaomi mobile phone users will have an instant connection with this. And it's going to be, they say, a very high-performing, superior acceleration, much more of a Tesla Model 3 performance, but even, you know, base spec Porsche Taycan competitor with lots of technology inside, but decent engineering chops as well. A couple of days to wait to find out more details. Under 70K, we now know the kind of pool it's going to be swimming in. Now, last week on the podcast, I made a show entitled, the YouTube version of it, Is This the End for Fisker, which had a pang of guilt because obviously people have bought those vehicles and it, you know, you want that company to be a success for those, not necessarily the, you know, the owners of the company, etc. They'll be, these people are always fine. But the customers who spent their hard-earned money on these Fisker Oceans, you want the company to survive for those people, but it doesn't look good. Breaking news, as of when I began to write this podcast, negotiations between Fisker and a major automaker, it's Nissan, isn't it, have been terminated, impacting Fisker's ability to continue. Fisker's stock trading has been suspended in anticipation of a formal announcement. The company facing challenges in securing $150 million in financing through the sale of convertible notes. After failing to make an interest payment to adhere to NASDAQ's listing requirements, they will propose a reverse stock split to their shareholders on April 24th. That's if they can get to April 24th to try and avoid that delisting. But like I say, we're awaiting a formal announcement. Trading has been halted. It doesn't look good for Fisker. And maybe that's going to be a whole podcast that I should make at the weekend or a time in the future. What it means for if the company doesn't survive, for the people who did get the Ocean, what does it mean for them? How can they keep the vehicles on the road? How will they be serviced in terms of parts and maintenance and things like that? And generally, that's a good general conversation for all of us to have, though, because so many EV companies are new. Rivian, Lucid, Fisker. We've seen those that haven't. Arrival never got vehicles into customers' hands. Canoe has got some vehicles out there, but nobody did it in the way that I think Fisker did get as far. You know, Aptera and more. But they got vehicles made and with good partnerships with the likes of Magna and in customers' hands. And so this is the farthest that one of these new startups has got before appearing to hit the skids. Maybe they'll pull through, but when they make that announcement, I'll bring it to you first. Now, if you want to carry enough people around to warrant a 7-seater, but you want to get to where you're going to quickly with a smile on your face, you'll want the Kia EV9 GT. The UK's Autocar magazine has some pictures online today of the Kia EV9 GT testing on track. So it's obviously nearing the end of its development phase. The current top model is the GT line, featuring a dual motor setup, 380 horsepower, 0 to 62 miles an hour. That's 0 to 100 kph in 5.3 seconds, which is already very rapid for what is a very, very large vehicle, is the EV9. And you can also get a downloadable boost function as well, if you particularly want to take almost a second off that 0 to 60 time. But the GT version will obviously be a different beast. So you think it's going to have a similar powertrain to the EV6 GT, but dialed up a little bit. So you're talking, you know, 600 plus brake horsepower. It's going to have extra weight, a lot more weight in the EV9. But the Nürburgring testing is underway, and so now we can see this with some lime green brake calipers by the look of it. And I'll pop a picture on screen for our YouTube viewers. Otherwise, for my audio listeners, I'll describe it. It's completely covered in camouflage. All the windows are absolute deep tinted, blacked out. But some newly designed alloys, if these are the ones that come with the vehicle, and hopefully this vehicle is not too far away. If you absolutely must have three rows but beat everybody off the line, you'll want this. Now let's talk about sister company Genesis unveiling some even higher performance versions of their vehicles. They're launching a sub-brand called Magma, and it's a new performance brand. Genesis introducing the new Magma brand with help of F1 legend Jackie Ickx to bring even more crazy power to their vehicles. The first one being the GV60 Magma Concept, the inaugural model from this initiative. Confirmed for production, by the way. This isn't just a kind of, hey, we could do this. This is going to go into production. Pop a picture on screen for my YouTube viewers. Apologies, my face is over the diffuser. See if I can get rid of me. Oh, there we go. I've gone. That's too much of my face anyway. This thing has a load of aero tweaks. Got 21-inch wheels. It's wider. It's lower. It's got a big spoiler on the back. There are unspecified battery and motor technology enhancements, but they say there will be much more power and acceleration. And for our YouTube viewers, you can see they've bolted on loads of aero. This more cooling for the motors and the brakes as well. And so, you know, the Genesis brand is, I'm back on screen now. The Genesis brand is, I thought, was more about luxury and that was their differentiation. But clearly they're like, okay, we're looking across at the GT and the N versions of our Kia and Hyundai companies respectively, and well, we can have a go at that as well. Now, some big breaking news coming out of Nissan is unveiling their new strategy plan to bring EV cost parity to combustion vehicles by 2030. The headlines are a targeting of a 30% reduction in costs for the upcoming EV lineup when you compare it to the current Ariya model. Nissan committing to achieving cost parity with EVs and combustion by 2030. Plans include the launch of 34 new electric drive, there's a word in there, electric drive models globally, 34 global electric drive models by 2030, and 16 of them are expected to be introduced within the next 3 years by 2027. By the financial year 2026, 40% of Nissan's global model mix will be electrified, not electric, reaching 60% by the end of the decade. In Japan, Nissan will electrify 70% of their product range with the unveiling of their new energy vehicles in China as well. The specific new models for Europe and India, we don't know, but also there were some key differences, key information left out of this, which I couldn't find at the point of recording, but this is relatively new breaking news as I put this show together today, and that is a lot of things like it's going to have electric drive, they're going to be electrified cars, and we know that Nissan see a big future in their e-POWER technology. E-POWER is just, you know, series or serial hybrid technology. There's no plug socket on the side of it. And I think the companies that are doing this are wooing people with the idea of electrified transport and getting them into their showrooms and then selling them on these vehicles. Not necessarily Nissan, but the others who have this kind of technology. I'm not sure how, you know, how Nissan sell it, but I think that this is, you know, it's not a con, but it's certainly, I think, makes them seem more electric than they really are. In fact, I would argue, and there are certain standards around the world, we have some definitions here in the UK from the industry about what you can call an electric vehicle, and that involves having a plug socket on the side. So e-POWER is interesting stuff because you put fossil juice into the car. That is a generator which makes electricity, which is stored in a battery, and then electric motors move you around. And so you still have an engine running all the time. But it can run, I guess, in optimal power bands. It, you know, it makes what is 100-year-old technology a little bit better, but there's no plug socket on the side. So, you know, give us a plug socket. Let us plug those cars in. And then if you want to have a generator like a BMW i3 Rex, no, that's fine. But unless you can put clean green power into a vehicle, it's not an EV, really, is it? But Nissan are big on this, and they, as far as I can find, were non-specific on what's the mix? Hey, wow, amazing. All these new EVs coming, but how many of them are e-POWER? How many of them are plug-in hybrid? How many are full EV? Well, I'll carry on looking into that. But if the majority of them are there fossil cars, then I'm a lot less excited about this announcement because they're not really EVs, are they? They're just a different way of spending money at the fuel pump. Some news coming in from Lucid, a press release on their website telling me that they have received a $1 billion investment from the affiliate of the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, bolstering their financial position. An influx of funds earmarked for capital expenditure and operational costs, if you're wondering. The EV maker announcing plans to make 9,000 of their Air, that's the sedan, their Air sedans in 2024. Including this investment, Lucid's raised $3 billion since May of last year through stock offerings and direct investments from Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. Since 2018, the Saudi fund has contributed about $5.4 billion, I think it is, to Lucid. That's about 60% controlling interest in the company. But for those that were concerned about Lucid saying they had cash on hand to be operational through 2025, this should put some of those worries to bed, I think. Quick bit of battery news coming out of Germany and the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz saying there's a significant EV move happening in Germany with the inauguration of the battery manufacturing facility by Northvolt. I'm not sure why my brain and mouth have stopped working together. I'm this far into the podcast. Happening with the groundbreaking ceremony in Germany, poised to supply enough batteries for 1 million EVs every single year. I always find it funny, these stats, because of course it depends on the size of the battery in the car, but it's a nice headline. 1 million EVs a year coming out of the Northvolt factory. The investment is 4.5 billion euros. That's $4.9 billion. $1 billion. Production starting in 2026, with 3,000 jobs created. The European Union Commission sanctioning state aid for Northvolt's initiative earlier in the year in January, with 902 million euros of subsidies in grants and guarantees. The location is close to the coast for leveraging wind power, for instance. And the CEO, Peter Carlson, acknowledging challenges like the rising energy costs, high interest rates out there, and escalating raw material prices in some cases. But he says he's highly optimistic about the move to electric vehicles, despite the temporary slowdown in growth in some places, like the US, in other places like China, certain European countries, powering ahead. And he is optimistic about the future. Well, if I have time, I'll squeeze in just a few more stories on today's edition of the podcast, and we can talk about Volvo integrating batteries that have been recycled into storage for EV charging hubs. This is Volvo Trucks using a Connected Energy. That's a business called Connected Energy. I'll pop a link to the Connected Energy website online right now. Some pictures for the YouTube show showing off their storage. These are 300 kilowatts battery storage units from Second Life EV batteries, capturing energy during low demand periods to charge up those batteries, and being able to charge vehicles when they are needed to. There's two of these have gone into the first few Volvo locations, one of them in Enfield in North London, and another one as well, which is all about charging up their trucks, but also courtesy vehicles and things like that, to avoiding putting in big grid connections and some battery storage from this business, who I believe Volvo are an investor in anyway, but that's good to see. Congratulations go to BYD, celebrating the 7 millionth new energy vehicle. BYD has now made 7 million EVs, highlighting their ongoing success. The milestone is an updated N7 from the Denza brand, the luxury Denza brand, set to launch on April the 1st. This N7 was the 7 millionth, and it's always a little bit contrived because they can decide what will be these landmark cars for the, you know, the press release and the photo, but a lovely photo of all the staff lined up next to this vehicle. 7 million vehicles from BYD. They started their journey in 2008, hit a million EVs in 2021. That was the Han EV, they said was their millionth. 5 millionth was done in August 2023. Last November, they had their 6 millionth, and now 7 million new energy vehicles from BYD, who are on a roll at the moment. One of our headline stories now, and that is BYD reducing the price of their Seal EV. This is the Glory Edition, and a Reuters report saying that they've had a 5% reduction on the starting price compared to its predecessor. The starting price of the Seal EV, Glory Edition, is now 179,000 RMB. That is $25,000. And the Seal is a car which is not only a great-looking car from the outside, but has a fantastic interior, great choice of equipment, gets compared to the Model 3 all the time, and some reviewers will rate it even higher than the Model 3. Some reviewers will say, well, no, Tesla's still got it because of the brand attraction and things like this. But the BYD Seal, incredibly competent vehicle, and they've lowered the price yet again. Another price reduction for the Seal, and the leading sedan in the Ocean series at BYD. The two base variants have a 61.4 kilowatt-hour blade battery. The lineup has a mid-range variant with an 82.5 kilowatt-hour blade battery. There's single motor variants, there's dual motor variants with the big battery in as well. And this vehicle starts at $25,000 equivalent. No wonder so many Western car makers are worried. And finally, we will talk the IM Motors L6 out of China, which they've introduced with, they say, solid-state batteries. IM Motors is part of SAIC, and they say has 1,000 kilometres of range for this vehicle, the L6. 900-volt architecture, solid-state battery, ultra-fast charging, they say. The CEO talking about how the vehicle will have this 900-volt ultra-fast charging capability in a four-wheel drive variant, which still hits 1,000 kilometres, 600 miles or so, with a 130 kilowatt-hour battery, which is interesting to look at. Some of the battery tech coming out of China is amazing. I need to, because sometimes it's semi-solid-state batteries, and some of it is a little bit interesting when you dig into it. Like, now I think about that, you know, 600 miles of range with 130 kilowatt hours. Well, my Hyundai Kona did 300 miles of range. in the summer with a 65 kilowatt hour battery. So, you know, double that. And then you're going to get 600 miles of range just by adding more batteries. But I'm not being flippant. It is clearly a different technology. Fast charging technology to cram it into that space is obviously very important. But without any of those details about energy density, etc., we won't dig too much into this. But I thought it was an interesting headline to finish off with today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, as always. And thank you for supporting the podcast. Couldn't do this without the incredible viewers, listeners, companies, organizations who support via Patreon at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. If you get any value out of this podcast to save you hours of looking through EV stories, to know that you're completely up to date, maybe you work in the industry or you have an interest, you're an enthusiast like I am, and it is of any value, I'd invite you to have a look at the Patreon page and you can support the work that I do here. But no pressure, there'll always be a free version online as well, if you don't mind the odd ad or two. Thanks to our premium partners. Thanks, as always, to Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie, and watch the Nevo EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments, all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.